Thank you for joining us on this Sunday. You're on Against the Grain with Teo Hardeman and Raza Siddiqui. We are very pleased to be joined by Congressman Sean Casson from Illinois 6th, who will be joining us to kind of talk about the events of January 6th. Teo, I know it's something that you and I have talked quite a lot about. I believe you talked actually with Congressman Danny Davis earlier today. Kind of go over some of what you guys were talking about, because I'm very excited to continue that conversation as well.
Oh, first and foremost, it's an honor to have Sean Casson here on the show with us today. And then, yes, Danny Davis, I had a conversation with him earlier today about the insurrection up there in Washington, D.C., and what's next, and how could we avoid any type of situation like that in the near future, and then what are the plans and expectations of Inauguration Day. So it's always a blessing to speak to a congressman or U.S. representative in regards to, national security. That's the bigger question there, national security, okay?
Oh, absolutely.
That's very important.
So without further ado, because we do want to get him on right away, Congressman Sean Casson, are you with us?
I am. Good afternoon. Nice to chat with you guys.
Good afternoon. Thank you again for joining us on the show. And we kind of want to talk about the events of January 6th. Tell us what a typical day is like for you and how January 6th ended up. Tell me kind of walk us through what your day was like.
Well, I think there's normally no such thing as a typical day in D.C. It's part of what I like about the job. Thankfully, I think there was a lot less harm than would have done because of COVID, because we were severely limiting access, as we have been throughout COVID, to the House floor. So only 44 people who were on the floor when the terrorists broke through. I, like the majority of my colleagues, was in my office. And at that point, as I tell everybody, we now have, 8 hours of personal experience of what it's like to be in a school that's being shot up, in a synagogue that's being shot up, getting partial information, hearing synagogues, gradually realizing that we were being hunted.
Wow.
So tell me, first of all, how you found that out. You were in the office. Tell me what happened and how your day kind of changed from there.
So I was watching the floor, waiting to see, what the process was going to be on the electoral certification. And at the same time, sort of, watching Twitter and seeing what was happening outside, and, became aware that there were issues. All of our internal security devices started going off, first flagging that there were streets closed off, which turned out to be the pipe bombs we didn't know at the time. Alerts that certain buildings should be evacuated. Again, we didn't know why at the time. It turns out that was because some of the barriers were coming down. And then I think the really scary moment was when Jim McGovern, who was Speaker Pro Tem, gaveled the House out. They immediately cut off the video feed to the floor, but the audio feed briefly stayed on. And I heard a voice, I think it was Jim's, I'm not sure, that said, get under your chair.
Oh, wow.
And that was the realization that we're all of a sudden sitting there saying, what is going on right now? And then, of course, you try to keep track of all the various, we still had TVs in our office. We still had our computers. So you try to just keep track of the news feeds and try to, figure out what's going on.
Well, let me add something, Congressman. Do you feel that there was, or believe, I use the word believe, that there was a security breach or something like that? The reason I bring this up is because if you look back to 9-1-1, there was a lot of intelligence out there in the universe that probably could have helped, Homeland Security or the United States military get on the front end and stop what happened on 9-1-1. But do you feel that there was some intelligence lapses there or something that took place around the Capitol Police, or maybe other people were in cahoots with, apparently some people were in cahoots in regards to what happened that day. So what are your thoughts about, do you really believe that there was some other, some people were not just really paying attention? They didn't prioritize it, so to speak, like that. What are your thoughts there, Sean?
There is absolutely no question that this was a gross intelligence failure.
Okay.
And there is a very strong suspicion that the failure was coordinated by people within the United States government. Look, I got two examples of that to point to. Number one.
Okay.
In the 2 days before this happened, it was completely clear to anybody with eyes and an ear that there was a menace in the city. I had called my staff and said, do not, I was walking home one night and seeing all of these MAGA types walking around, and told my staff, if your car isn't parked in the garage, get help, because there's just a menace in the city. I'm not an intel guy.
Yeah.
But all of us could tell that. The second thing is that we know that, well, there's... there were two things that happened that day that I think are extremely damning. The first is the first bombs went off, or the first detection of bombs, these pipe bombs at the RNC and the DNC, were about a mile away from the Capitol. And I'm told by folks at Capitol Security that that pulled about 30% of the force away from the Capitol building. That's a pretty clear suggestion of coordination. The second thing that happened is several of my colleagues were in touch with very senior people in our military, and I'm going to not name names because I don't know if they've gone public. But we know that it took almost an hour to get the National Guard called in, and when the call was made, Donald Trump did not make the call. Very senior people in his administration went around him to do that. Effectively, they implemented the 25th Amendment, or else it was a gross violation of chain of command.
Okay.
But if you think about that hour, that was the hour at which we might have had reinforcement to come in and protect the folks in the Capitol.
We're on with Congressman Sean Casson. We want to invite you guys to also come and join the dialogue. You can dial in at 773-763-9278. Again, 773-763-9278. And the Congressman's kind of talking about what he experienced on January 6th. And I'm sorry, it sounds like I cut you off a little bit. Congressman, please continue.
Well, I was just saying that is the sign of very clear coordination. I want to be very careful not to go into speculation beyond that, because we have a lot of speculation.
Right.
But to your first question, was this an intelligence failure? Yes, unequivocally.
Okay. And then I had on one of my shows earlier today, one of your colleagues, Congressman Danny K. Davis out of the 7th District. And I asked him a question. So why is it so important, U.S. Representative Sean Casson, to impeach the President Trump right now? Why is it so important? Because Congressman Davis was saying, once you impeach him or whatever the case may be, he cannot run for office again in another 4 years. Is that pretty much correct, U.S. Representative?
Well, that's true. But also, we have seen how much damage Donald Trump can do in one day, and we'd like to minimize this number of days. The House cannot unilaterally force the president to resign. The House cannot unilaterally invoke the 25th Amendment. We can unilaterally impeach. And the fact that the Senate has decided to do nothing in the wake of this threat is shocking. Now, it is true that once impeached, if he is subsequently removed, he can't come back and run again. I think there are some constitutional scholars who have suggested that this may in some ways limit his pardonability, or at least the legal robustness of any pardons he might issue. But I think the bigger issue here is that we need to have a full trial with witnesses, not the kind of sham trial McConnell did last time.
Yeah.
After 9/11, nobody said, you know who caused this? Muhammad Atta. Case closed.
Okay.
We are now at a point where we have had a terrorist attack on the U.S. Capitol. And yes, there has to be accountability for those people who committed those acts of violence, the people who killed people. But I want to know who organized it. I want to know who financed it. I want to know who is the Osama bin Laden of January 6th.
Okay.
And we can begin that process in a robust way in a Senate impeachment hearing that is led by adults who actually care about the rule of law and will have witnesses, unlike the people who are now moving into the minority.
Okay, good information. So we have a caller, a Jim calling now, Congressman. We'll take this call, then we have a few other questions for you, okay?
Okay.
Good stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, Jim, you're on the line.
Hello, Jim. My recollection is that during this melee, Biden came out, made the announcement, and then embarrassed Trump into coming out and making the announcement. Now, that's my recollection. I recollect that morning, the afternoon, Biden came out to stop the mayhem, and then President Trump came out and made. I think that'll be a precise moment in that, when, once you go over the tape for the Senate, I don't think they'll have to impeach the gentleman. Anyway, you guys have a good afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. So basically, Congressman, go ahead, Raza.
One thing I was going to say is what I remember about Trump is that he came out and told the people that, you know, we love you. I love you. And that's, again, what kind of brought in the whole cause of the incitement. I mean, Congressman, when you heard about this, what was your reaction? And also, in a moment here, I'm going to play what one of your other Congress colleagues said, Republican Peter Meyer, who's a Republican, obviously, who also had a very strong take on this. But I want to hear what you thought when you heard the president's words on this matter.
Look, the president has never been fit to be president of the United States. He has failed at every moment. This happened, like, yes, he could have said much crisper things on January 6th, but he first brought the crowd to the mall. He first used language over the, you know, over the 2 months prior to this, suggesting that our election wasn't fair, using language of violence, telling people to be violent. And, you know, in the words of Liz Cheney, the number three in Republican leadership, she said, you brought the crowd and you inflamed the crowd. Hmm. Once all that he had to do to avoid this was to do what every small town mayor has ever done when they lost an election.
Yeah.
Right? All he had to do was say, I'm sorry I didn't win. I'm delighted to have all the support. I hope everybody can come together and support, and I'll do everything I can to ensure a seamless transition of power, because our town is more important than the mayor. The president of the United States does not have the emotional maturity to have that conversation.
Exactly.
He brought this on.
Okay. So here we go. I have a heavyweight question for you here. This is a question everybody's asking, Congressman. So it's a good question. So what do you think would have happened? Because, you know, I'm African-American male here, you know, live in Chicago here. And what do you think would have happened if African-American people had descended upon the White House and were scaling up the walls and running through the hallways of the state, U.S. Capitol, Congressman? Real talk. I just want to put it out there because everybody's asked that question. Okay.
Okay. I think we all know the answer to that question.
That's right. That's right. Dad, I don't put you on the spot. That's right.
And it's tragic, right? I mean, look, I'm reminded at the start of the Trump era, a good friend of mine from high school, African-American guy, and he sort of sensed something was in the air before Trump ever won, just the language Trump was using about Obama. And I said, what do you ascribe that to? And he said, you know, there was this guy, you may remember, we heard this speech when we were in high school, this guy who said he had a dream. And I said, yeah, I remember that speech, Corey. And he said, you know, it was about being judged by the content of your character rather than the color of your skin. I said, yeah, I remember that. And he said, the realization of that dream is a nightmare for white men of low character.
Wow. That's something
and
else.
That is Don Trump Jr. That is Donald Trump. That is their fear. And that is what they have animated in people who are petrified of living in a world where they might be judged by the content of their character.
Yes, indeed. Okay, Congressman, we had a couple more calls coming here. We got Mr. Joseph on the line. May have a question for you here. Joseph, you're on the air with Raza Siddiqui and T.O. Hardeman against the grain here, and Congressman Sean Casten.
Hello, Congressman and everyone. Two things. Number one, anybody who thinks you can't make a difference, you should look at that young man that was a security guard that dragged the crowd away from the vice president. And number two, anybody that was in the military or former military that was part of it needs to be resolved and court-martialed under the military justice code. So I thank you all, and I'm glad you're here, Congressman.
Well, you know, Congressman, I noticed a lot of people have been arrested lately, a lot of CEOs of businesses throughout the United States, a lot of police officers, some former military people. So it's really something, and I wish it could have been much better. You know, I wish it never happened, but you have a lot of working class people now that they're going to lose their jobs. We had a few people that lost their lives, especially some of the U.S. Capitol Police. It's a sad day in America because not since the early 1800s have we had an insurrection, so to speak, like this one here. So what are your thoughts there, Congressman, about the lives lost? And the one young lady, I looked at something in the media where she said she would rather, you know, die than, you know, have a new president or whatever if Trump's not the president. And I really feel sorry for her because she's a former military lady. You know, she was shot and killed while she was in the hallway of the Capitol. But, I mean, losing lives, you know, Donald Trump should feel some kind of way about the lives that were lost or something. And then all these people are about to lose their entire careers because of the mayhem and all their actions out there, Congressman.
Well, look, on the one hand, I think, you know, people who attacked the United States Capitol for the first time since the War of 1812.
Right.
People who attacked the country from within for the first time since Fort Sumter. There has got to be accountability for that.
Okay.
Having said that, nobody is happy about the loss of lives, especially
right.
the loss of American lives in the Capitol. And, I think you're right about, you know, we treat black men differently, but man, the restraint that the Capitol Police showed and some of these conversations about them saying, you know, am I going to gain something by shooting something right now, or what is the best way to act? This could have been a lot bloodier than it was.
Yeah.
I think our challenge as a country right now is that, again, we know the playbook on how to respond when we are attacked from without. After Pearl Harbor, after 9/11, we rallied together as a country. We reminded ourselves of our common humanity, and we moved forward. We don't have a playbook on how to respond when we're attacked from within. You know, Fort Sumter led to a 4-year civil war, and we still haven't resolved those issues, right?
Yes, indeed.
We still got an awful lot of people who seem to think that was about states' rights.
Yes.
And I think our collective challenge, regardless of who you voted for, is how do we make sure that we hold people accountable for this while also rallying together? And, you know, I think the point of some optimism that I keep taking is that this was a small minority of a minority who was petrified of living under a government where they might be governed by the will of the majority. And I think all of us just have to keep in mind that the overwhelming majority of Americans love our country, love our democracy, love our rule of law. The overwhelming majority of Republicans love our country.
Okay.
The overwhelming majority of people who voted for Trump did not attack the Capitol. There has to be accountability for those who did. But we are still a country of diversity of racial, religious, geography, and if we go to our corners, we will lose everything. And we just got to find a way to empathize with our fellow man and woman.
All right, good information. We have another caller. We have Jim on the line. We'll bring Jim on to ask you a few questions as well. Let's keep the conversation going. Yeah, Jim?
How you doing?
Doing good.
Congressman Kasson?
Yes. No, I'm T.O. Hardiman. Sure. Congressman is on the line with us, and Raza Siddiqui
right.
here. Yes.
Okay. Well, anyways, I live in your district. I live in Elgin. It was quite obvious that the people that attacked this Capitol were Antifa. There's videos. The problem is there's so much video, you can't get away from it, where they show the Capitol Police standing by. There was another one opening up the gate. There was another guy demonstrating that there were buses being brought in with these people in it so they could cause the trouble. It wasn't Trump supporters. Also, Mr. Kasson, your support of the Equality Act, I call that the war on girls' sports, because having biological men compete against girls in sports is wrong, and I think it's a shame that you support this bill. I heard you talk about it. It's not about love. It's really unfortunate. I call it the war on girls' sports, because boys are boys, girls are girls, and that's how it should be.
Right. Well, thanks for your call, Jim. And so what I'll do, if you don't mind. So today, Jim, we're talking about everything that happened in Washington, D.C. We can take on that subject at another time. But I hear what you're saying, and we can take that on another time on behalf of the topic that's real serious across the United States right now. So appreciate your call there. And Congressman, I have one more question for you, though. So now,
Tio, can I just, Tio, before you drop, can I just
okay.
respond to one thing there?
Yes, indeed.
This was not Antifa. And we have got to get to a point where we recognize that those of us in government, including the president, have access to the best insurance agencies in the world. We know who was there.
Okay.
We know who it is who right now is saying, let's not investigate this, let's move on. We have got to move beyond this idea that there is no such thing as objective truth unless it's echoed by Fox News, Donald Trump, and their enablers.
I totally concur with you on that, Congressman. Then also, you know, I've traveled the world. I've been to Africa, been all through the UK, a few other little countries in South America there. And there's no country. I love my country. I want to make that clear. But I don't understand why people would want to create a whole lot of chaos in the United States, because the United States is one of the best countries in the world. Not just because I'm a citizen here, because I've traveled extensively. I've seen the levels of poverty in other countries. I've seen hardship in a lot of different places. But the reality, we all need to come together. You know, Congressman, I organized a press conference earlier today, and what it was all about, what I said there is we need to promote the United States, not the divided states of America, but the United States of America, you know, because, you know, you had so many people. You had about 71 million plus people voted for Trump, 81 million voted for Biden and everybody. It might have been a few more for Trump, you know, like 73 or 74 million. But the thing is, this is now it's time to connect. And as we continue to take a few callers, Congressman, and talk about we want to talk about the healing process pretty soon. Brother Raza.
Well, and Tio, we do have to get to a commercial, but we do want to talk about, like you said, how we bring these divided states into a more unified state, how we look forward and how we're going to go ahead. And we look forward to having that conversation with you right after this commercial break. In the meantime, we do want to invite people to call in 773-763-9278. To you, Mr. Ceasefire Hardiman, Raza Siddiqui, and Congressman Sean Casten on Against the Grain right after this.
All right.
The minority groups in America are severely affected by COVID-19 due to health care and economic inequities. Chicago, now it's your time to make a difference in your community and join the fight against this global pandemic. Loretto Hospital, in partnership with Affinity Health, are seeking healthy volunteers to find a potential COVID-19 vaccine. Interested participants can call 877-L-TRIALS or visit chicagocovidvaccine.com to learn more.
Megan Financial is an independent retirement and financial services firm dedicated to the working men and women of organized labor. Megan provides straightforward, custom-fit financial advice and specializes in defined benefit and defined contribution pension plans, as well as participant and retiree health and welfare benefits. Megan Financial has the knowledge and experience to navigate the union member through all phases of life. Call 708-444-1090.
Securities and advisory services offered through Cetera Advisors, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC, a broker-dealer and registered investment advisor. Cetera is under separate ownership from any other named entity. Office location at 5321 South 94th Avenue, Orland Park, Illinois, 60462.
33 Realty is a fully integrated real estate services firm specializing in investment brokerage, property management, leasing, distressed real estate services, and construction services via its sister company, Cubed Construction, for a variety of asset classes across the multifamily and commercial real estate sectors. 33 Realty provides full-service solutions to complex real estate assignments with industry-leading staff invested in the process. For more information, please visit 33realty.com. 33 Realty, your foundation for real estate success.
You're joining us on Against the Grain. I'm Raza Siddiqui. We have TO Mr. Ceasefire Hardiman. We're joined today by U.S. Representative Sean Casten of the Illinois 6th District. We were talking about the insurrection. We were talking about the events that happened a couple weeks ago. But TO, you were talking about how you held a press conference earlier today about bringing people together. And that obviously is kind of what we're looking to do. Talk about the future. Talk about how we move ahead from this. What was the purpose of what you talked about today?
Yeah, my main thing is just to promote, you know, peace and prosperity to everybody in the United States. You know, we're suffering from this COVID-19 pandemic. There's no time for division in the United States. If you study history, you'll find out that different civilizations, they basically fail because of internal conflict. And there's no need to have internal conflict in the United States of America right now. So I don't want us to get off of our guard on a world level because we have so much going on internally. And then Donald Trump, in my opinion, I wish he would just be the bigger person, say, you know what, I lost the election fair and square. It's time for me to, you know, sit down and step away and see if I can just be of any, you know, like support to the Biden administration. That's what men do. That's what men do. And that's what women do as well. You know, we're talking about politics. So, you know, it's kind of crazy. But the press conference is all about promoting unity amongst all people. It doesn't matter what race, creed or color. Everybody, we need each other. That's what it was all about.
So, Representative Casten, we have in 3 days the inauguration coming up. What do you think? How do we make sure that we not only heal, but are able to move in a safe direction from here? Do you anticipate there's going to be more problems?
Well, we know there's a tremendous amount of intel chatter that these groups are talking about doing things in all 50 state capitals.
Right.
And there is extremely, to call it heightened security in D.C. would be to put it mildly. I think Joe Biden is the man to heal us. He has a proven ability to speak to, all socioeconomic strata, he is a truly empathetic human being, which will be a welcome change.
Yeah.
But we've all got to work on this together. And I would highly recommend, if you guys haven't read it or if your listeners haven't read it, read Danielle Allen's book, Allo Declaration.
Okay.
And she does this beautiful job of talking about how the founding tension in our country that we've never really resolved is that right there in our founding documents, it says we're all created equal and we've all got the right to pursue liberty.
Exactly.
And that tension between the pursuit of individual freedom and equality for all, we've never really resolved, right? We fought a civil war over the idea that unless we've got equality for all, we're not going to allow your individual freedom to own people.
Okay.
We fought a Cold War over the idea that we're not going to mandate collective equality for everybody if it comes at the expense of individual freedom.
Yeah,
and
so
Danielle's point is that every point we're proud of in our history, we have biased that in favor of equality.
Yes, indeed. It's time to heal. So, yeah, we have about four callers waiting to talk to you, Congressman. If you don't mind, we got about four people lined up to talk to you.
We will first go to Roosevelt. Roosevelt, you are on with Teo Hardeman, Raza Siddiqui, and Congressman Sean Casten. Understand that you have some ideas about unity being a little harder to achieve. Roosevelt, you're on.
Thank you for taking my call. Congressman Casten, how would you deal with the woman that is going to introduce articles of impeachment against our president that's going to take over this coming up Wednesday? That's just it, Raza and Theo. How do you deal with that extremist? How do you deal with a cult? This is a cult. It's no longer a party. We're making a big mistake by calling this the Republican Party. It's a cult. You got congresswomen going into the Capitol Hill passing heat. This is ridiculous. You know, you got to investigate this sedition, this anti-American movement that they got going here, and you got to put people in jail. There's no other way around it. You cannot heal, Theo and Raza, until you recognize what the problem that we had. And the people are going to continue in the media, such as Rush Limbaugh, Hannity, Tucker Carlson. The man's not even in there. They're already talking against him. I mean, saying horrible things about him, that he's going to be a socialist, a communist. So how do you heal from that? How do you come across and reach your hand so it doesn't get bitten by the other side?
Congressman Casten, what do you think?
There's quite a lot to mull on
with that. Again, like he was saying, you have articles of impeachment already being drafted here. How do we reach across?
Well, look, let's not make any, like, the fact that there's a freshman introducing a stupid piece of legislation that's never going to see the light of day in any committee is not new news. That happens every term.
Okay.
We will treat her with 100% of the respect she deserves. I think the larger issue your caller raised is a completely legitimate one, which is after the House was attacked, after people sought to overturn the Democratic election, 65% of the Republicans in the House voted to side with the terrorists. They voted to overturn the results of the Pennsylvania election after that happened.
Yes.
And that includes Kevin McCarthy. That includes, the number one, Stephen Scalise, the number one and number two in the party. That's a real problem with the party. And, among the 35% who didn't, people like Adam Kinzinger, people like Liz Cheney, people like Mr. Meyer up in Wisconsin, I'm delighted that they actually took their oath to office seriously. But we need their voices to be much louder right now, because the majority of Republican voters are wildly more normal than the majority of elected Republicans in the House of Representatives. They have been captured by that Tea Party QAnon fringe. And they will not resolve that until somebody in their party who is capable of true leadership, that ain't Kevin McCarthy, someone who is capable of speaking to people's common humanity, someone who is capable of being a Lincoln-esque figure with malice towards none and charity for all, They need those voices to be ascendant, because when all of those voices are in the Democratic Party, it is perceived as partisan.
Okay. So we got another caller, Mr. Mike from your district out of DuPage County. He just wants to thank you, Congressman. So we'll bring Mike on. Then we'll get to Tiffany, Todd, and Holly in a few minutes there. But Mike, you're on the air.
Hey, Representative. I just wanted to let you know that, yeah, I'm from your district as well over here in DuPage, and most of us are not like the previous person who called in. I mean, you can tell a Jeannie Ives voter from a mile away. It's like all they've got is their transphobia. But I really wanted to thank you for everything that you do. I just want to say how glad I am that you're safe and that nothing terrible happened to you. I do have a quick question, if you don't mind if I squeeze it in. Is the next Senate coming in able to run with the impeachment, even though it was done in this session?
Okay.
Great question. And the answer is yes, those articles will be handed over and will be implemented by the next Senate. We are trying to work, and this is more an issue for my Senate colleagues, to work with the Senate calendar, because we also need to tee up and get a whole cabinet approved for Biden. Keep in mind that by this point in the 4 years ago, there were 6 or 10 members of the incoming Trump cabinet that had already been approved by the Senate, because the Senate appropriately wanted to make sure that there was a continuity of government. Mitch McConnell has chosen not to do any of that. He put the Senate into vacation. And so we're trying to make sure. So to the question, yes, we will go ahead with the impeachment hearings, really the trial, we should say. The impeachment's already happened. But we do need to make sure that from a Senate calendar perspective, the Senate gets all of these appointments in place, because we need to make sure that we have, you know, people running our Health and Human Services Department to manage COVID, people running OMB to manage the economy, people running the Department of Defense. There is no reason that couldn't have been done before, but Mitch McConnell chose not to.
Okay. All right. Good information. So
we got a couple more questions coming in. Let's get to Tiffany, who's got a question. You're on with Teo Hardeman and Raza Siddiqui and Congressman Sean Casten.
Yes.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you doing today?
Pretty good.
Doing great.
Well, I think we're living in a culture of fear right now. And our country has never obviously been so divided. We've had a lot of things happen this summer also and into now, and even before, I think, that people aren't even aware of. You know, we were talking about hacks from China and Russia. And I was hacked this summer. I've had no access to internet for over 6 months now. And after that, I pulled my plugs on my internet and my cable went out with it. A couple months later, my 83-year-old grandmother had a stroke. She had nothing to do. And basically, you know, the culture of fear is just so intense now. I've been listening to the radio. And if you look at it from the side of the right, we are attacking the constitutional rights of the president. And if you look at it from the side of the left, he's attacking our institutions. Now, the division within our own party system has never been so obviously great. And the need for unity has never been greater. And I think there's a lot of people in my position right now without technology for one reason or another. I have not been without the internet since I was before high school, and I'm now 40.
Okay, that's right.
So, now, I've tried to fix it. I called up AT&T. I even got to the point where I'm like, put in a new modem, see what happens. Wouldn't hook up. Two tablets, supposed to be ironclad security. And they're not. And you got to wonder, who's up to this stuff? I think there is a dedicated group of people working towards disharmony and problems. But most Republicans are rational, reasonable people, just have a different spin on things than many people that they call leftists. And the media outlets, holy crap, oh my gosh. I used to keep attention to both of those too, both sides, just to hear what everybody says.
Well, Tiffany, what's your question for the congressman? You have a question for him?
What did he suggest that I should do in a position like this?
What you should do in a position like this, you're saying?
Yeah, being compromised, basically. I feel that, I don't know if it's because of my political support for one side or the other. I don't know how I got targeted to be hacked. Not any clue in the world.
You know, one thing I've noticed, too, is a lot of my friends who are on Facebook have been saying they've almost had some censorship, and even with Twitter or Facebook, that there's more scrutiny with that. So, Congressman, just want to ask you about that going forward as well. You've obviously had a lot of intelligence briefings on this as well. I want to kind of invite you into this conversation.
Well, number one, let's take some optimism. I don't think the country is nearly as partisan as we think it is. Biden got 7 million more votes than Trump. Hillary got more votes than Trump. Al Gore got more votes. If you look at who votes in Senate elections, the overwhelming majority of people have voted for Democrats. What we have right now is that our Constitution created several anti-majoritarian institutions because we've never reconciled our commitment to equality with slavery.
That's right.
So you have one party right now that holds great power because of the Senate and the Electoral College. And that's a structural problem in Washington. But it's really important to recognize that there's a lot less division between the American people than there is between that structural defect in our Constitution. To your question about, you know, how to protect yourself, I would just say in general that the social media companies, their engine is designed to get your endorphins going. They use algorithms that are designed to make you see things that you want to see and then encourage you to retweet them.
Yes, yes, indeed.
We are all little publishers, whether we know it or not. And if you were running the Chicago Tribune, you would think very carefully about what you put on the front page and whether it was true. You need to have that same level of discipline as you look at, you know, less conventional forms of media. And when you see something that is exactly consistent with something that you want to believe is true, be skeptical before you retweet it. Do what a good journalist would do. Try to disprove it. See if you can find independent corroboration of that. And, you know, and I think as long as we do that, That's how science works, right? That's how truth works. That's the beauty of the Enlightenment. And as long as we recognize that there is such a thing as objective truth, then we can internally make sure that we don't become sucked into those partisan networks.
Yeah, good information. You know, because social media, Raza and Congressman, is pretty much, even with myself, I had to learn how to actually turn my cell phone off at night so I can get some rest, because this social media has you going, like the Congressman is talking about. And it's crazy when you sleep with your phone on your chest, man. That is crazy. So I'm just being straight up, Congressman. So I'm learning now to turn my phone off after 9 to 10 p.m. at night and try to go to sleep and just let it go, because I think I'm going to miss something. And it's designed that way. It's like an addiction of its own, okay?
And that's the other thing, right? We're socially distant. We're used to getting angry with interactions. Now it's just a few texts on a social media that can actually elicit that.
Yeah, the Congressman wanted to share.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I also think you're spot on there, Raza, that there's COVID has really amplified this, because we've been in our quarantine bubbles, right? And so we spend all our time lately in an analog world with people who look like us, think like us, pray like us. And we've missed those opportunities that we used to have to go to a concert and dance with somebody who's different, right? To go to a church, to go to a synagogue, to go to a restaurant. And I think we've just all got to be sort of hyper aware that those muscles that we have that are totally capable of empathy and kindness and decency have not been exercised as much as they used to be.
Okay, good.
You know, we got to take a commercial break here. We do have a lot of calls coming in, so we're going to do a rapid fire round.
Yeah.
But you brought up, Congressman, about getting out there dancing. We want to talk a little about your band as well, and how that's played into who you are. We're going to invite some callers to call in, 773-763-9278, and we'll get to all the callers who are holding right after this commercial break.
Are you interested in being one of the first participants in a COVID-19 vaccine clinical trial in Chicago? Affinity Health is currently seeking healthy volunteers who may be eligible for a COVID-19 investigational vaccine study. This will take place at the Loretto Hospital in Chicago, Illinois. We are looking for people who work as teachers, factory workers, retail workers, or anyone exposed to many people during their workday. Visit ChicagoCovidVaccine.com or call 877-L-TRIALS to learn more. That's 877-587-4257. Founded by award-winning acoustical architect Timothy Pickett in 1999, Encompass AV is one of the most respected audiovisual and acoustical design firms in Chicago. Encompass AV and its staff of 20 highly trained field engineers provide custom-designed AV, low-voltage, network, and security systems. Since inception, Encompass AV has worked closely with all levels of business, from single proprietors to enterprise and Fortune 500 multinationals. You can find Encompass at EncompassAV.com. Reach out today for a free estimate. Ever wonder about the story behind the story? Who are the people you watch delivering the news, filming the scenes, and putting pen to paper to tell the story you read in your morning paper? Tune in to Media Essential Workers on Facebook and YouTube to find out. With constant changes in the Chicago media landscape, one reliable source keeps track of the people bringing you the stories. Media Essential Workers, the premier live stream telling the story of the storytellers. Sunday nights at 7. Like, subscribe, and follow Media Essential Workers to find out about special shows during the week. Hosted by Raza Siddiqui, Media Essential Workers gets the story of the storytellers.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. T.O., Mr. Ceasefire Hardiman, and Raza Siddiqui. We're here on WCPT 820 AM with Against the Grain with our special guest, U.S. Representative Sean Casten. We really appreciate the representative being here with us today, our congressman. So we get right down to it, Congressman. We have a caller by the name of Todd that wants to comment for a few minutes here. So, Todd, you're on the air with us here on 820 AM WCPT Progressive Radio.
Hi, Theo. Hi, Congressman Todd Swish, CEO of Game Changers Corp. So first of all, the only reason why I called in is because T.O. Hardiman is on the show. And the one thing I can say about T.O. Hardiman is that although he's a black man, he is objective and objective in his process. And he can process things at a very high level. And he doesn't choose candidates based on their color, which seems to be a major problem in our country. And that's one of the reasons why I support T.O., is because he looks at the facts and is able to process them at a high level. So going to this, leading up to my question, number one, we've always had a division problem. We've always been separated. It's just that with Trump, it was more overt. With Obama, it was covert. Okay, wow. Right now we have a spiritual malady that's going on in this country. Okay, number two, I have over 200,000 people that follow me on Facebook. One of the problems that I saw is that the people that were voting for Biden and Kamala did not even know what they stood for. It was just more so hate for Trump. And I'm not, now, did I vote for Trump? Yes, but would I have voted for Tulsi Gabbard? Yes. So I guess my question is, Congressman, there's two things. Number one, how do you feel about the lack of uneducated voters? And please don't tickle people's ears because you're a congressman. The lack of uneducation that goes with this voting that actually occurred in this election. And again, in addition to that, I see things getting worse. And it's not because Donald Trump was any better or that Biden or Kamala Harris. It's going to be a different type of sin that's unleashed. We have a spiritual malady that's going on in this country. This isn't about Republican and Democrat. This is about the light and the dark. So okay, I guess Todd, maybe the question is,
yeah,
how
good.
Do you feel about the light? No, how do you feel about the lack of knowledge of people, the way they're voting today.
All right, Todd, thanks for your question. Quickly, before the congressman responds, I would like to say this much, because when we talk about voters, you know, you got voters that vote for a lot of different reasons, Todd, and I wouldn't want to be the one to say that people are uneducated. You have voters that do a lot of research before they vote. Then you have voters that vote because it's popular. So I wouldn't want to put that type of label on voters, because some people just vote because they're used to voting. So I'll let the congressman handle that question, too. I just want to put that out there. So what are your thoughts there, Congressman?
Well, number one, I'd remind everybody that the guidance of my former colleague, dearly departed Elijah Cummings, who reminded us always that democracy is not a state, it is an act. If we don't
democracy is beautiful. It's a heck of a tool, but you got to use it. And I think the events of the last four years have significantly increased the civic engagement, have made people more aware of the vulnerabilities of our democracy, and that's only a good thing. Does everybody understand every issue in the ballot box? No. I'll bet you every single person on this call, myself included, probably didn't have a super informed view of every candidate all the way down to the bottom of the ballot.
That's my point.
Democracy isn't perfect, right? But as long as we stay vigilant, we can improve it. And the second thing I'd say is that, you know, I think your caller is right that there has always been division. In a country as diverse as ours, there are always going to be differences of people. And at every point in our history, we have had some politicians who have reminded us of our common humanity, and some politicians who have said to people in pain, your problems are caused by those other people over there. One of those is the tools of the Lincolns and the Dr. Kings. The other is the tool of the demagogue. Those voices have always been out there. And I think as long as we focus on electing people who emphasize what we have in common instead of what we have in difference, regardless of the party, that's how we remain this great and beautiful country and keep this 244-year-old experiment running.
Okay, good. So we're going to do a lightning round because the phone lines are, you know, lighting up a lot. So
yeah, let's wait with Tiffany. Tiffany looks like she's
been on. No, we already had Tiffany on.
With Holly.
Holly, we got Holly now. Holly, you're on the air, Holly, with Congressman Sean Casten.
Hi, gentlemen. I just wanted to say that Antifa is anti-fascist, and they did not participate in this riot. It just doesn't fly. And the other thing that I wanted to say is I want the Republican Party to return to sanity. We need both parties to balance out each other in a democracy. Even if I don't agree with Republicans, we need them to be sane. And that sanity seems to have gone out of the window with some of them. To back a man like Trump, you have an emotional attachment that cannot be explained. I see my white rational friends who are rational in every way that listen to social media and the right-wing stuff, and I just go, but that's not true. And they go, oh, yes, it is. The perpetuation of the lie is frightening.
Okay.
And it's worrisome. And I want the old Republican Party back, only better. And I'm a Democrat.
Right on. I appreciate your call, Holly. I really do. Thank you. And so here we go. We got Tammy next, and then we'll get to Erica before we wrap up a little bit with the Congressman Hill. Tammy, you're on the air, Tammy. Tammy.
All right, let's jump to Erica.
Let's go to Erica. Erica has a question for me. Erica?
Hey there.
Hi, how you doing?
Great. I just have one question.
Okay.
For the congressman.
Yes.
Do you think that we will go into martial law this week?
Whoa, that's a good question.
No, I do not. But I do think that insisting on being a country where the rule of law matters and no one is above the law will require a level of accountability that we have never had to grapple with before in our country. Even after the Civil War, we didn't prosecute the people who took up arms against the United States.
Okay.
And that's going to be a really hard political conversation. I think we just all need to keep in mind that as long as we emphasize the values first, we'll be okay. But it's why I said we need the Republican Party to stand up, because the only thing that makes those values appear partisan is the silence of people who should know better in the Republican Party.
Yes, indeed. All right. Good information. Let's try to bring Tammy back on quickly here before we get out of here. Tammy, can you hear us now? Tammy?
All right. We lost Tammy.
Yes,
Congressman,
indeed.
We want to thank you so much for joining us. I know it's been a very stressful time. It's been a lot going on the last few weeks. How do you, on top of everything you have to do, how do you kind of relax and keep your perspective? I know that you've been playing in a band for years. Are you able to virtually keep in touch with them? Have you been able to decompress at all with everything going on in the government at a personal level?
Oh, I appreciate the question. You know, unfortunately, the music career has been put on hold by this congressional career. It's a little hard to dedicate the time that it takes to be sharp and well practiced. You know, it's hard. The one of the first, you know, on the 8th after all, or the 7th, I guess, after all this went down, one of my colleagues who's a medical doctor got us all together and he said, "I just want to let you know that you all have PTSD. You don't know it yet, but the circumstances that we have all been through will create it." And he said, "Here's the number one, you're going to have shortness of breath. The way to counteract that is to exercise. And so as soon as I'm off this call, I'm going on a bike ride and trying to get some more time in for that now than I did before."
Yes.
He said, "You're going to find yourself more irritable. And I think we're all feeling a certain amount of righteous anger right now." And he said, the tension you're going to feel is that as a, you would not be in this line of work if you didn't want to help other people. Hmm. And when you see pain, you're inspired to try to help. And you need to take some time off to look out for yourself as well. And I've not done a very good job of that yet. I'm trying to, but it's hard to see so much pain and so many people who need answers to the questions like your callers are today.
Yes.
And to feel like the best thing I can do is to just look after me. And that's a struggle. But we're working through it.
Now, we all had to take care of ourselves. You know, about 3 months ago, I was able to complete 1,000 jumping jacks live on Facebook, you know. And people thought it was a lot, Congressman, but 1,000 jumping jacks at 25 at a time or 50 at a time, it's kind of easy, really.
You know what? It was one of your highest Facebook lives for about 2 minutes,
yes,
and then people just tuned off.
That's right. But they tuned in. Yeah, 1,000 jumping jacks. And I've been working out, too, though, Congressman. It's like things to do during the COVID-19 pandemic. Work out, sing, meditate, whatever you can do to keep yourself occupied. But you're right. When it comes down to helping increase your wind, you know, building your wind is, and conditioning is so important, because you can be a big guy, a little guy, whatever the case may be. But if you run out of wind, you're in trouble no matter what's going on.
Exactly. In order to think sharp and do what you got to do, you got to take care of yourself.
That's right.
But I appreciate what the congressman says, that there's so much going on that he's trying to squeeze time to take care of himself.
Exactly.
But you know, he's out there dedicating his time to doing what he was elected to do. And we really thank you for jumping on this call, taking an hour out of your Sunday to join us. We really do appreciate
Thank
that.
You.
All right, Congressman.
Thank you. Stay.
All right. And we'll talk to you soon. Thank you very much, Congressman. And to all our listeners, thank you guys for joining, as you always do every Sunday. To you, Mr. Ceasefire Hardiman and Raza Siddiqui, we look forward to joining you again next week when we keep these conversations going and keep the perspective as to what's going on in our world. We'll know how the inauguration went by then, right, Tio?
Yeah, basically on, what's that, January 20th.
January
20th.
Right.
I believe that the country's going to unify sooner or later. And also, you know, we have to keep praying, you know, praying for peace and prosperity across the United States, because the whole world is looking at the United States, and we're supposed to be one of the major superpowers throughout the entire world. So hopefully we can keep that title.
Absolutely. We look forward to having that conversation with you when we join you next week, same place. And also join Against the Grain on Facebook, where you can keep in touch with what we're doing over the week. Talk to you soon. Bye.
All right. Take care, everybody. Appreciate you, Congressman. All right. Thank you all for tuning in.